just like this at a reunion several years ago and didn't have a chance to look at it really until I got back home, and I was looking through it, and I came on page 249. It says Guardfish Trails and Echo, and I said, oh my God, I was on that trip. And it says, during the summer of to put this in perspective, we were snooping around Vladivostok just about the time that the United States started mining the waters around North Vietnam and mining the harbors. And nobody really knew how the Russians were going to react to that, because that was a provocative act when we started mining, laying mines in international waters. Well, as it turned out, we were there to find out how the Russians were going to respond, and they got the whole home fleet underway, and it was a very interesting time for a few hours. But we got out of the harbor and hooked up with an Echo. We got out by, during the summer of 1972, USS Guardfish SSN 612 was deployed in the Sea of Japan when world events thrust her and her crew into the adventure of a lifetime. On 9 May, the Vietnam War was heating up and Paris peace talks had broken down and our forces had commenced mining Haiphong and other major North Vietnamese harbors to deny the North Vietnamese army from being supplied. Guardfish was alerted by message to the possibility of a Soviet naval response. The world situation was tense. No one knew how the Soviet Union would react. Guardfish was positioned at periscope depth near the Soviet's largest naval base, which we know is Vlad. Late on the evening of 10 May, a surface contact was detected standing out of the channel at high speed, cutting across the normal channel boundaries and heading directly for Guardfish. As the contact closed, it was visually identified in the growing darkness as a Soviet Echo 2-class missile submarine. This class is 5,000 ton powered by a nuclear reactor and carried 8 Shattuck surface-to-surface missiles that could, they had a range of about 200 miles. Guardfish followed. Soon the Echo submerged and headed southeast at high speed. Was this sortie in response to the mining of Haiphong? During the next 2 days, the Soviet submarine frequently slowed and spent long periods at periscope depth, probably receiving detailed orders from his naval commander. While listening for Echo 2, Guardfish slowed, which significantly extended her sonar detection range. To the crew's surprise and alarm, they were able to detect at least 2 and possibly 3 other Soviet submarines in the area. 1 submarine is hard to trail, 3 or 4 is impossible. Therefore, Guardfish's tracking party focused all efforts on maintaining contact with the Echo 2 that they had identified visually. When the Echo resumed transit toward the southern exit of the Sea of Japan, as captain, I had 2 important decisions to make. First, did the deployment of 3, possibly 4 Soviet submarines meet the requirement for breaking radio silence? The number one priority of all submarine surveillance operations was to provide an early warning of an unusual deployment of Soviet naval vessels. This type of report, called a critic, had never been sent before. I determined that now was the time. Guardfish broke radio silence and notified the operational command. And then second, should Guardfish abandon her surveillance mission in the Sea of Japan and continue the trail? Operation order was silent on this count, but it made sense to me that our naval commander would want to know where the Soviets were going. Because I didn't have the luxury of time to wait for orders, I invoked the submarine commander's secret creed. No guts, no hero ribbons. We were on the way. And then it goes on for another page about how difficult it was to track this guy, because he went through the most difficult parts. Shallow water, lots of background noise. Frank can appreciate. But we went through we took him through the Bashi Straits twice. And at the end, I won't read the whole thing, but it says, now we left Pearl Harbor February 6th. We dove February 6th. When Guardfish returned to Guam on 10 June, that's when we surfaced, was on 10 June, the crew had been underway submerged for 123 days. And then he says, morale was sky high, and the officer and crew were all justifiably proud of what they had accomplished. And that was quite a trip.
Is that trip?
Yep.
Well, I noticed the Presidential Unit Commendation ribbon. That's what that was.
The MIBs were waiting on the pier for us when we got back, and they took the sonar guys and all of the tapes, and they took the captain. And the chief sergeant and the captain were debriefed in the Pentagon, and if you'll pardon the French, said Nixon wanted to meet this submarine guy with the big cojones. So the captain went to the White House and met President Nixon.
Very good. Thank you.
Wow.